What is the purpose of communion? Why do we do this twice a year? I believe the purpose is, of course, to remember the work of Christ on our behalf and to allow it to become more real to us, that we would be partakers of his blood and body and what he did for us in a physical way and also even more in a spiritual way. So will the communion service be successful this morning? Will it do what it's intended to do? I think that that hinges on several things. One of those is, of course, on the condition of our heart and whether or not our heart is open to Christ. We already looked a little bit at Jesus' blood in the devotional, and I appreciated that. And I think that we'll ponder more over what he did for us. What was Jesus trying to tell us on the cross? Trust you've read the crucifixion story, his death and of his resurrection. I believe for a message you can turn with me to Luke 22. I would like for a title just simply to consider Jesus' sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. As I was thinking about this service today, the song kept going through my head. He bore it all that I might live. He bore it all that I might live. What did Jesus get out of this? In Luke 22, we simply have him going and observing Passover with his disciples. And he makes two statements in here that I would like to draw out. We'll just read verses 12 through 20. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Two phrases, my body which is given for you, my blood which is shed for you. Jesus' sacrificial love. What does that mean to you, Jesus' sacrificial love? Why did he live the way he lived? Why did he die the way he died? He surely could have chosen a much easier way. What was the purpose in all of that? I believe that one of the earthly goals that Jesus had was to portray to us that true love is sacrificial love. True love is sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. What is love? Of course, some would say that love is an emotion of affection towards another. Is that all? In the Greek, the Bible uses two words. Agape means to love dearly. It's a strong and moral love. And then there's phileo, which is a fondness and affection. Philadelphia's brotherly love is actually a Greek word. Of course, a town in Pennsylvania. Then we have that word sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Just my own definition is to give up something of personal value for the behalf of another. To give up something of personal value for the behalf of another. John 3:16, for God so loved, agapeo, the world that he gave his only begotten son. We see the sacrifice. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Christ's sacrificial love. What if Christ would have looked at the cost of redemption for man and said, "It is too great. I'm not willing to pay the price." Could we still say that he loved us if he would have said, "It's worth it, but I'm not willing to pay the price"? Could we still say that he loved us? Can you separate love and sacrifice is the question. Can you separate the two? Can you have love without sacrifice? Can you have sacrifice without love? We ask the question, what if Jesus would have said, "I'm not willing"? And so you ask the question, why did Jesus come? And I believe that it is true that they made a plan that would prove his love for us and would prove the extent. And today we are still marveling, even though many of you have been saved for many years, you still marvel at the love of Christ, and it becomes more precious to us. Something that we cannot understand. No, instead of saying, "It is hardly worth it," instead they composed the plan and he fulfilled it to the end. In fact, he made a plan that would show his sacrifice, would show the love that he had for mankind through sacrifice. I believe this morning it is possible. It is possible to have sacrifice without love. People will give things and not really love somebody, but I do not believe that it is possible to have love without sacrifice. Jesus' love was voluntary, and through the example of Christ, it is through the example of Christ that we can understand the concept of true love. We can have sacrifice without love, but we cannot have true love without sacrifice. The extent of the sacrifice made exposes the amount of love in our hearts. How much would you do for another and not even consider it a sacrifice? I have to think of the young men, and even many years ago, as I was willing to travel miles. Men travel miles, hundreds or even perhaps thousands of miles, spending a lot of money on gas and some sleepless nights. And then there's the buying of expensive gifts. And they don't even consider it a sacrifice because of the love that they have for that special someone. Because of love, sacrifices are made. And we don't even consider it a sacrifice. A sacrifice that is given in love doesn't usually feel like a sacrifice at all. And I had to think about the verses in Hebrews 12, 2. It says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." And so we see that Jesus did it with joy and he had purpose in what he was doing. Yes, I believe that it was intense. But he saw it as something that was worth doing. But to think also of the parable of the hidden treasure, Matthew 13, that said, "Who for joy goeth and selleth all that he hath," and that's also typifying Christ. And so this morning we'd like to think of Jesus' sacrificial love. What did Jesus' love cost him? I drove past the church sign this week that says, "What has love cost you? What has love cost you?" And we'll look at that a little later, at least a little bit. Jesus' sacrificial love for us. What was the cost of reaching out to man in love? We're going to look at just a few of Jesus' sacrifices. First of all, Jesus' love for us moved him to sacrifice. Each of them will start with that. Jesus' love for us, mankind, moved him to sacrifice. The riches of heaven for poverty on earth. We can only imagine what Jesus enjoyed in heaven. And it's nice to think about Jesus coming as a baby on Christmas, We enjoy that. But do we really realize the cost that went into that? Giving up the splendor of heaven. Matthew 8, Jesus said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus gave up so much. What all did he give that we can really even comprehend or understand that? I don't know that the Bible tells us everything that he gave up in heaven. As you read in Revelation, you get a little window into what he might have given up. It's interesting. I'll read from Revelation 4, verse 8. "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Here's just a little window of what heaven and eternity give to God and to Jesus. And Jesus could have stayed there. And yet Jesus deliberately left that place, knowing full well that instead of all this honor, he would be despised and rejected of man, Isaiah 53 says. Jesus held a high place of honor in heaven, yet he willingly laid it down to come and serve mankind. Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, who was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself." If that wasn't low enough to be a man from being God, he humbled himself even more and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which the death of a cross was a terrible humiliation and shameful thing in its day. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." And so we see, secondly, even more than sacrificing the riches of heaven for poverty on earth by way of his physical experience, many times Jesus came up against needs, I believe, physical needs that he gave up to be here, at least in comparison, especially in comparison to heaven. We also see here in Philippians 2 that Jesus' love for us moved him to sacrifice his reputation, his place of acceptance and honor for rejection. Sacrifice his reputation for rejection. We see here that even the beasts of heaven give him three things: glory, honor, and thanks. Even the beasts do that in heaven. What did mankind do to him on earth? Well, we know how he came. He was the Son of God, yet he chose to be born as an illegitimate child to a lowly carpenter's son who was placed in a manger of all places. And in the end, he was numbered with the transgressors. He died between two criminals, associating with them in his death. Was all this a mistake? No, this was done with purpose. This was done with great purpose. It was the deliberate hand of God and the deliberate choice that Christ had to walk this path. He could have chosen a family of the elite and maintained his lofty position among kings and among the high society, but no, he came and served as the poorest of the poor, and even as the despised. Thirdly, Jesus' love for us moved him to sacrifice his comfort for a time of intense suffering. And we can't cover all the scriptures that talk about the suffering that he endured. John 19, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. I don't know how long those thorns were. Yesterday, one of the boys brought me a thorn from a beautiful bush. The bush is so beautiful, but it has these thorns, and they are about 3/4 inches long. Very sharp. You can only imagine what a crown of thorns felt like piercing on top of his head. And as they smashed it down on him, I don't believe they did it gently. As they smote him with their hands, Jesus endured all of this to show us his sacrificial love. And then in verse 17, he bore his cross, he carried his cross, even when physically he was exhausted. Isaiah 50, verse 6, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." It's terrible how he was treated, and yet he put up with it. He could have annihilated any of those people, yet he willingly submitted himself. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." In Matthew 26, it says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" Jesus' love for us moved him to sacrifice his will for God's will. I believe that it is a natural desire to live a pleasant and carefree life. And I believe Jesus had that even within his natural impulses and desires. And there was a time when he needed to sacrifice what he wanted, his will for God's will. And he did it. Fifthly, we read the verse, I believe we did, I'll read it again. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Jesus' love for us moved him to sacrifice his sinless perfection to bear our sin and guilt. To bear our sin and guilt. He carried that to the cross, and I don't know what that was like. For him to bear the sin of mankind on his shoulders. Why did he sweat drops of blood for us? I don't know that I can explain that, but the anxiety that he went through in carrying the sin of the world. It says there in Isaiah 53, he had laid on him, well, how does it say it exactly? "The transgression of my people was he stricken." And somewhere else it says, "And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." There's another phrase that talks a number of places there about bearing our iniquities. But God laid on him the sin of the whole world. And even in his sinless perfection, he was willing to take that on and to bear that to the cross for mankind. Jesus' love for us sickly moved us to sacrifice his body and his blood. I don't know what is closer to you than your body and your blood. Our body and our blood is very personal. And the sacrifice at Calvary became a very personal reality. There was nothing more that he could give in a physical way than who he was, and he did it. He gave his body and his blood on the cross. And I don't know what it felt like to have nails driven through your hands and through your feet and to hang in agony. They say it's a very painful and slow death. You have to heave up to get every breath because your body is hanging down. But Jesus did it. And I believe that the extent that he was willing to go to shows us the extent of his love for us. And I would like for us to link the extent of his sacrifice to the extent of his love, and not to separate that. You know, it's easy for us to read back, we've read it so many times, and to kind of gloss it all over. But this is not a rosy picture. This is a picture of terrible torment and agony. Why? Because of his love, he gave his sacrifice. How great is his love for us? I believe that he loves us to the uttermost. And even more than that today, it doesn't end at the cross, but he rose again for us. He intercedes for us. Romans 8:34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God and also maketh intercession for us. Jesus' love for us moves him to intercede for us today. Eighthly, John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus' love for us is moving him to prepare a place for us. And if I go again, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Ninthly, Jesus' love will move him to come for us. To come for us. To receive us unto himself, it says in verse 3. Thought it was interesting. Father already mentioned that verse. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. He mentioned that concept. I don't think he mentioned that verse. But it says that we're going to do this till he comes. Jesus has us on his mind. And this is to help us to have him on our mind. I trust that we're living in anticipation of that day. Well, that was Jesus' sacrificial love for us. What about our sacrificial love for him? Now, because of time, I'm not going to be able to get over all of this part. I'll just mention a few things and take it up later. The church sign, what has your love cost you? What has love cost you? What about our sacrificial love for Christ? Came across the quote, whoever loves much does much. Whoever loves much does much. You know, if we really have love in our heart, we're not going to just cover it up, but it's going to come out. We're going to show it. You can read stories of people who loved much and did much. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And it says that a couple different places in a couple different ways. We can all think of stories we've read of people who gave their life. I think the account was given sometime recently here of the woman in the concentration camp who was starving. Of course, they were starving, and yet she was giving her bread to her daughter so she could live. I read another account here of a lady who had a tiny baby girl, and as of someone came and gave her a sweet potato, she in turn fed that to her daughter, and the next day she was gone, but her daughter lived on. And those stories are told of people who have given their lives on behalf of another. But we have an even greater debt to pay than any of those. There should be an even stronger love in our hearts than the love of children. The love for our Savior because of what he did for us. What am I willing to do for him? Recently, I was challenged with the limit of sacrifice in my own life. A little while back, somebody wanted something that I had, and so I decided that I would be generous to this person and give them this item at less cost than what I felt like it was worth. And as I gave this person a very good price to purchase this item, they came back with a counteroffer and said, well, I'll give you even less. And as they did that, I struggled with anger in my heart to say, you know what? Forget it. That's what came up in the carnal man. I struggled to maintain the love that I thought was in my heart. I thought there was love and generosity, and then I realized that maybe there wasn't. You know, and as I studied for this message, I had to think back on that what is the extent of my love? Are there boundaries that I have set on my willingness to give? You know, I'll give so far, but then that's it. Or am I like Christ who gave and gave and gives some more? Jesus showed us the extent of his love through his sacrifice, and I believe that we will continue to show the extent of our love for others by the extent of our sacrifice. Remember, love is a costly thing. Do we love enough so we can sacrifice enough? We read in Philippians 2, verse 7, that because of what Jesus did, actually in verse 11, because of what Jesus did in Philippians 2, it says that he was given a name that is above every name. Are we giving enough praise to Jesus? Are we lifting him high enough? Do our lives honor him enough for what he's done for us? What is my love costing me? There's a whole list of verses that we could look at that we're not going to take time for this morning. But I believe that every day we live out our love or our lack of love for Jesus Christ. As I was studying for this message, I came across a physical illustration. It said, in the animal kingdom, there is the male emperor penguin who will stand almost motionless for 2 months in sub-zero weather, providing warmth to incubate a single egg. And during the nesting sequence, he will go up to 120 days without eating. 120 days without eating and standing for 2 months in sub-zero temperatures to incubate a single egg. Now, is that a sacrifice? And you say, well, that's instinct. God made him that way. But that's an interesting illustration of the care that he has for that egg, for his young. How much are we willing to sacrifice for the needs of others? How many of you fathers are willing to give that kind of love for your children? How much are we willing to give for a neighbor who needs the Lord? There's just a lot of things that we are called to give. Let's be careful in our lives that we would be willing to demonstrate the love that Jesus gave for us, that we would be willing to return it to him by way of sacrifice. May God bless us as we remember what Jesus did for us.